Good morning. Let me begin today by reading two passages, one from Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, and the other one, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 and 25. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The resurrected Jesus is performing a God-given function right now. Jesus Christ is at work right now serving God's purpose for him. While the task God assigned the resurrected Jesus completely differs from his earthly ministry that ended in a physical death, it is as real as was his earthly ministry. He did the will of God in his human life. He did the will of God in his physical death. He does God's will at this very moment as he is enthroned at God's right hand. God resurrected Jesus to reign from God's right hand. Jesus Christ's now task involves his reign. In his reign, Jesus has specific objectives as he pursues the restoration of God's sovereignty. Many Christians have not considered Jesus Christ's mission after he ascended to heaven to be enthroned at the right hand of God. Many Christians assume Jesus' mission was complete when he died on the cross. This lesson challenges us to consider Jesus Christ's mission in his reign after his resurrection. It challenges us to understand that there is a bigger issue than the us issue in our salvation. As Jesus Christ reigns, he functions on our behalf and in God's behalf. He functions on our behalf by serving as our intercessor or mediator before God, Hebrews 7, verse 25, and 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. The concept of an intercessor is the concept of someone who looks after our interests. The concept of a mediator is the concept of someone who makes it possible for alienated parties to have contact. It is too easy for Christians to make salvation concerns more about people than about God. It is too easy to conclude that God's highest objective in the enthroning of the resurrected Jesus is the salvation of those people who allow faith in Jesus Christ to lead them to God. God's ultimate objective in Jesus Christ's reign is the restoration of his sovereignty. The salvation of people is just one aspect of the restoration of God's sovereignty. This aspect is centered in Jesus Christ serving as the intercessor and mediator of the forgiven. Christians can exist in the holy God's presence only through perfect forgiveness. No one, including the Christian, is without evil in him or her. There is no evil in God, James 1:13. God has no association with evil. God is absolute holiness, perfect purity. How then can people who are incapable of separating themselves from all evil exist in the presence of absolute holiness and perfect purity? God produced that opportunity in two ways. First, God provides complete, perfect forgiveness to us in Jesus' blood, Ephesians 1, verse 7. With Jesus' blood, God ransomed us from evil, Ephesians 1, 14. Through the grace of God's complete forgiveness, we become suitable for God's presence. Christians are able to exist continually in God's holy presence only because the resurrected Jesus serves as our intercessor and mediator, Romans 8, 34. Evil is a continuing problem in every Christian's life. Growing maturity in Christ results in Christians resisting evil within themselves. Yet, it is impossible for any people, including Christians, to eliminate all evil from their lives. Each Christian fails the holy God daily. No Christian grows to a level of holiness, either in knowledge or behavior, that reaches God's level of purity and holiness. Every sincere Christian, regardless of how knowledgeable he or she becomes, will commit more evil through ignorance of holiness and purity, God's purposes and concerns, than he or she will ever commit in knowledge rebellion against God's sovereignty. God's grace is administered to those in Christ on a continuing, daily basis. This can happen only if a perfect intercessor mediates continuing association between the forgiven and the holy God. We Christians cannot represent ourselves before God. Daily we fail as evil lives within us and as we fall into temptation. Only the resurrected Jesus Christ understands the human condition and struggle perfectly. Only our sinless Lord is in a position to plead for the mercy of God's patience to endure as our relationship with Him continues. Jesus lived a physical existence, Philippians 2:5-8. He endured and understands the temptation experience, Hebrews 5:8-9. This one who walked in our shoes continually represents us before our God of mercy and grace. Because Jesus Christ represents us before God, because He understands our weaknesses and struggles, Christians confidently come to the throne of grace, rightfully anticipating help with our need for mercy and forgiveness. Hebrews 4:14-16 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Scripture significantly stresses the fact that Jesus Christ is our complete intercessor and mediator. He was a human, but a human without any form of evil within Him. Jesus functions in God's behalf by seeking a specific objective. This objective in His reign is to completely restore sovereignty to God. As He reigns now, He actively conquers God's enemies. What enemies? Enemies defying God's sovereignty. Paul told the Christians in Corinth that Jesus must reign until He stands on all His enemies, 1 Corinthians 15:25-26. This statement is that world's image of a standing conqueror with His defeated enemies at His feet. Jesus Christ serves us before God as our perfect intercessor who mediates between God and us. Serving in these roles is significant movement toward the ultimate objective of His reign as Lord. The ultimate objective of His reign is the restoration of God's sovereignty over all beings and things. Paul declared several things about the resurrected Jesus to Christians of Philippi. Philippians 2:9-11 reads, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." As the enthroned one, Jesus Christ has a supreme name that was and is superior to all human titles. He is the Lord. Americans place little significance on titles. Our view of freedom and independence rejects the concept of royalty, the status of royalty, and the titles of royalty. Americans are more likely to criticize people of position, the president, the senator, the governor, than we are to feel a sense of awe. Not so in that world. Position was significant. Failure to feel and express that awe invited death. To be a Lord in any context was to be held in awe by those under that Lord. Jesus is the Lord. He reigns. He is not a Lord, but the Lord who is superior to all earthly lords. He is superior to any form of any earthly authority. Ephesians 1:20-23, "which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." No earthly being holds any position, power, or title equal to or superior to His. God positioned Jesus Christ in a situation that will result in an accomplished objective. God made Jesus Christ the Lord. The Lord will return total sovereignty to God. God's sovereignty was rejected when the humans God created rebelled. When humans rebelled, God's very good creation was perverted. Rebellion defied and rejected God's sovereignty. In the final judgment, God's total sovereignty will be returned to Him. It is interesting and consistent with the concept that Jesus Christ is presented in Revelation 19 as the conqueror. Only evil dares defy God's sovereignty. Evil must be conquered in the restoration of God's sovereignty. Jesus defeats those who defy God's sovereignty in two ways. Every knee will bow to Him, and every tongue shall confess He is Lord. First, some come to understand who Jesus Christ is. In their new understanding, they confess His Lordship. They have faith in what God did through Jesus, and they repent. Their immersion is an act of surrender, an act of commitment to the Lord. Defeated by God's love, by God's expression of mercy and grace, they voluntarily choose to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Evil is defeated when people place faith in Jesus Christ and voluntarily redirect their lives to God. Voluntary surrender to God is the restoration of God's sovereignty in the life of the one who surrenders. Such people are conquered by God's love. Secondly, some refuse to recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. Either they don't understand Jesus Christ's position as Lord, or they practice open rebellion against His position as Lord. These people defy God's position as sovereign. In spite of God's love and kindness, verified in Jesus' life and death, they refuse to direct their lives toward God. Jesus Christ's work in His reign is to pursue their conquest. While God prefers the repentance of rebellious people, 2 Peter 3:8 and 9, the conquest of all in rebellion to God's sovereignty is assured, 2 Peter 3:19 and 13. Even these who reject Jesus' lordship or rebel against God's sovereignty will bow their knees, the symbol of enemies' surrender, and acknowledge Jesus' lordship. This will not occur as an act of redirection or repentance, but as an act of a conquered enemy. The resurrected Jesus reigns right now. The period of His reign began with His ascension into heaven, Acts 2, 32-36, Hebrews 9:24, and 1 Peter 3:21 and 22. It will continue until He returns to be the judge of the living and the dead, Matthew 25:31-46, and 2 Corinthians 5:10. This is the end result of Jesus' reign, the glorification of God the Father, the sovereign God. Philippians 2, verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The sovereign God will be glorified. Jesus Christ's reign assures God's glorification through restoration of God's unquestionable sovereignty. If you have any questions, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.